gonna go ahead and we're gonna start in verse 15. Now, the subject of Proverbs 8 is wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And so we're gonna pick up kind of in the middle of it, but it's wisdom speaking. And in verse 15, wisdom says this: by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Now, not every king has reigned wisely. Not every prince has wisely made decrees. But it's in the wisdom of God that he established those kings and he established those princes. Okay? And says in verse 16, by me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So this wisdom has been with God long before creation, okay? For his works of old. And then he says this: I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Now, I've talked about this before, the difference between the words eternal and everlasting. Eternal is something that had no beginning and no end. It's eternal. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, take hold upon eternal life. It's there in you. Take hold on it. Start living with it, all right? Start acting like, you know, you got the football in your hands, all right? And living that way. Everlasting is something that has a beginning and no end, okay? If you think of it in terms of geometry, you think of them with a line, the line would be eternal, except think of the line going in every possible direction, okay? Everlasting is that ray. There's a dot and then a line that goes on forever from there, okay? Here, the psalmist said, or not the psalmist, but in Proverbs, Solomon says this: I came forth, I was brought forth from everlasting. If you go back as far as you can, if you were to point in the past as far as you can, wisdom has been brought forth from all that time. We're going to see that wisdom here is a manifestation of Jesus Christ. We're going to see that as we go through what I'm going to study here today. Okay? There's the seven spirits of God. Wisdom is one of those. Wisdom was never created. There's never been a time God was without wisdom. All right? There's never a time when God sat around and, you know, gosh, I need to get a little wisdom here. Let's create wisdom or whatever. He's always been, okay? There's always been wisdom. But he describes himself as been brought forth from everlasting. Now, going on, it says this: or ever the earth was, verse 24, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. One of the things we understand about Jesus Christ is this. He said this, he said, my Father is greater than all, okay? And yet he said, I and my Father are one. So the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they love that. See, the Father's greater than all, you know, and... But again, why did Jesus Christ say my Father is greater than all? Because within the Godhead who have always existed, there's never been a time when the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost did not exist. There's never been a time where they were not in perfect love and perfect harmony one with another, in perfect holiness. There's never been a time all through all eternity that's happened, okay? But it's the Father who had a plan. It's the Word, Jesus Christ, who bowed his knee and said, I'll fulfill that plan. It's the Holy Ghost who worked as the priest to keep it holy and right and pure and good through all of it. So that they could create. The Father could put these things on the earth. Jesus Christ could create what the Father gave him to create. So there came a time when wisdom was brought forth. There came a time when Jesus Christ had to step out and create and to speak and to make things. And again, I quote that verse all the time in 1 Corinthians 1:9. The Lord just showed it to me one time differently than I'd ever seen it. Just that thing where the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus Christ who hath called, talking about God the Father who hath called us into the fellowship of his own Son. The calling to be a Christian is the calling of God the Father to you, to be part of that fellowship of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. For you to be part of that eternal, everlasting fellowship that will never end, that has gone on forever, that you can partake of it. And again, you came unclean, unworthy. He took care of it at the cross. Settled that thing that you could be part of that. You could be part of that fellowship.
Yes.
Okay? He says this. Well, verse 26. Well, as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Now, that's a fascinating statement. If you ever look at the old medieval maps of the world where, you know, they're afraid they're going to fall off the edge or whatever else, they always show that big compass on the whole thing. And they see that. How many degrees in a compass? 360. How many days in the Hebrew year? 360. Okay. Job speaks of the Maseroth. Okay. What is the Maseroth? It's the Hebrew word for what we call the zodiac. What's the difference? They weren't stupid enough to worship it. All right. But they also recognize there's 12 signs in the heavens. And they recognize that. Okay. So what do we have? We have 12 numbers on our clock face. Okay. And originally, before Satan fell, that clock worked perfectly with the earth in the center of that and all those things working around. That's where these flat earth people and everything get that from. They read things about how that was. They'll see hints in the Psalms, hints in the Proverbs, hints in that kind of thing. And one day God will reestablish the earth in that, but it's not there now. Now he hung the earth upon nothing, okay? And he set it there, all right? It's not where it was. That's why Job said the earth was moved. So the point is, he set that compass upon the face of the depth, and the Hebrews had that perfect 30 day months, and they also divided into 40 times, okay? 9 times 40, 360, that's why you see 40 day cycles sometimes in your Bible, 30 times 12, you see that. The priest's breastplate in the book of Leviticus had 12 stones on it, one for each tribe, and also that's how everything was divided, okay? But the devil's breastplate in Ezekiel 28 had 9 stones set in gold, okay? Divided into 40, okay? And those two calendars work that way all the time, all right? It's all out of whack now. None of it's working like it should. You're told you're a fool, devilish, if you're trying to divide the heavens and all that kind of stuff. Don't get into that junk, all right? Stick with your Bible. But the book of Proverbs does talk about that, how he was there. And it says, verse 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea the decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now, who's going forth had been of old from everlasting. He was brought forth from everlasting. We're going to look at that term again. Let's go to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. If you're uncomfortable searching for the book, don't worry about it. I'll read it. If you can find the book of Micah, that's fine. I can usually find it within 30 to 40 minutes of looking for it. All right. So Micah chapter 5. This is where when Herod asked the wise men, and he called them in, And he asked the priests and the scribes, hey, where's the Messiah to be born? This is where they turned, okay? Micah chapter 5, verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And of course, they did that to Jesus Christ. One of the things about prophecy is it's mixed all through the Bible. It's a big potpourri of all these things all through the Bible. But look at the next verse, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. Same thing said of wisdom, from everlasting. This man, Jesus Christ, we know that his body had a point where it was born, okay? That's why, and again, who's his daddy? God the Father is his daddy. There's never been another birth like that. That's why he's the only begotten Son of God, okay? These versions say he's the only Son of God. No, the Bible talks about other sons of God. Luke calls Adam the Son of God, all right? In other words, he was created by him. But Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. There was only one time ever on this earth that a man, if they took his DNA, would have found the family of David in one half, and the other half, they would never have found a match for the DNA anywhere on this earth because God the Father was his father, okay? And yet the man who inhabits that body, who is that body, is going forth has been of old from everlasting. There's never been a time when he was created. There's never been a time he didn't exist. If you were to stand there and point back and say, where was he? This line would go forever back into eternity past. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Now, just go a couple books forward to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. And look at verse 12. There's a mournful cry in the book of Habakkuk because Israel is being chastened greatly by the Father, greatly by God. And they're watching very evil men do things to them. And it's a hard thing. But keep this in mind, Psalm chapter 17 talks about the wicked as being the hand of God. If God wants to get to you, he'll often use wicked men as his hand, okay? The wicked, which are thy hand, O Lord, all right? And it's what Psalm 17 says. But it says this in verse 12, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Okay? So when Habakkuk goes to call upon the Lord and he's looking at these awful people doing things, he's acknowledging, but he says, art not thou from everlasting? This God that I'm talking to, you've always been. There's never been a time you haven't existed. Do you understand that you have the right to fellowship with this God? You have the right to speak with him, to talk with him, to commune with him, to reason with him, to plead with him. You have that right, okay? I have people say, well, God never answers my prayers. I'll tell you one thing, God hears your prayers, okay? God hears your prayers, okay? And there's nothing that goes on in this world God doesn't hear, okay? Thursday night Bible study, we dealt with this idea of in the book of Jeremiah, when Nebuchadnezzar has overthrown the city and the people have been scattered, the king's been taken, the temple's been destroyed, the walls have been broken down, and a remnant of the people come up to Jeremiah and ask, what should we do? What should we do? And Jeremiah tells them how to save their lives. He explains to them, here's what you need to do. They won't do it. They will not do it. And I made this statement. I said, the problem is they never trusted God in the small things their whole lives. All the small things that God would have had them do, they never trusted God. Then when it came a time for their life and their soul, they couldn't trust that God. Okay? You will never learned to trust God in the big things till you've learned to trust Him in the small things.
Amen. Right.
The little things in your life. And again, that's one of the reasons that, and I understand a tithe is under the law. I understand that. Adultery is under the law, okay? Not killing is under the law. And I understand that. And it's never been a rule of this church that you have to tithe. You don't have to give to come to this church. There's never been a time we've gone around and examined people. I've never gone to Ashley, would you tell me who's giving, not giving? I don't want to know that, okay? And if you're thinking, oh, you only want me to tithe so you can get more money, go find some charity somewhere that you believe in. Go find something that you believe is God's in. And you get on your knees and say, my God, I'll give 1/10 of my income to that. And you want to know something? You'll learn a relationship with God that you've never known before. And you'll learn to trust the Holy God of Israel like you've never learned to trust before. You'll learn it, okay? There's a blessing in it. God forbid you think that I'm telling you to tithe so you bring money into here. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 63. Miss Katie, it's good water today. You did a good job. You know, again, that's a little thing that she's faithful to it. It's a little thing, okay? She's faithful to it. We have people sometimes want big jobs in the church, but they're never faithful to the little ones.
That's right.
Isaiah chapter 63, verse 15. Isaiah speaking, he says, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength and the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies towards me? Are they restrained? And again, keep this in mind, bowels in the Word of God. Yes, it's what's inside your body as far as that goes, but it's where your feelings are, okay? Your feelings. That's why little children, I hate your guts, all right? They know that. They understand that. That's where feelings are. And so it's used in there. The Song of Solomon, at one point, the woman, said, his hand came through the hole of the lock and my bowels were moving for him. It doesn't mean she got diarrhea because it came, all right? It's not what it's saying, all right? It means, and you ladies understand this more than the men, where your innermost feelings are moved by the love of that man, all right? Something happened inside of you because of that man, all right? Something happened because of that. And it's a glorious thing. It's something God did. And here Isaiah is saying, where is that sounding of thy bowels, O Lord, those deep feelings you had for us? Where is that, oh my God? Let me tell you something. If you've ever walked with God, you've had times you wondered where He was. Okay? If you haven't had those times, you've never walked with Him. Okay? You'll wonder, where is this great God? And you'll wonder, where is the sound of your mouth? Where is that care you've had for me? Where is that? Where is that? Children cry out for their parents sometimes that way, when their parents are putting more responsibility on them. Set them out to do things they're a little uncomfortable with, okay? And they're crying out, where is that? There's times that God will put you somewhere and building your faith and growing you up a little bit, all right? Go with me to verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, O Lord, thou, O Lord, our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. There's never been a time that Jesus Christ didn't exist. There's never been a time the Father didn't exist. Never been a time the Holy Ghost didn't exist. Jesus Christ has been Jehovah God from all eternity. He has always been there, always been exactly what He is. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 93. One Adam 12. Psalm 93 says, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. That's why whenever you see visions of God, or he's described in heaven, he's in those glorious robes and he's shining forth. And Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says his clothes were white and shining as no fuller could whiten them. Say, what's a fuller? Some of you older people remember Fuller's Earth, all right? Some of the old people, in my day, the old people used Fuller's Earth. And what is that? It's the idea that a fuller was a person who would get clothes, what we would call a cleaner today. He would go ahead and take what was supposed to be a white robe, and after a while, white robes begin to look yellow, things get on them and that. And they learn there's certain things. You can put blue on yellow and it makes it white, all right? And they call that bluing, all right, and fuller. And so Jesus Christ stood there and it says his robes were such as no fuller could whiten them. They're just shining. That's his majesty. That's what he is. Every time you see of the Lord, he's that way. By the way, Pastor Hain did a good job in the last couple of weeks. He's been preaching on that thing of Christian liberty. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, that you I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You need to decide how God wants you to present your body. Okay? We have no rule like that in this church. Other than, you know, people have asked me, how should I dress? I say, at least have your skivvies, all right? You know, anything less than that, we'll probably be offended, all right? But, I got real legalistic one time. I stood there by the side door one time and looked, and we had a girl sunbathing topless out here in between the two buildings, and I thought to myself, we probably need to make a rule that both men and women have shirts on this property. Because if she come over on the swings, I was going to probably have to ask her not to be there in the swings, all right? And, you know, but the state of New York, it's absolutely legal. You can walk around, ladies, like that, and it's just absolutely whatever. And, you know, and it's just, and by the way, do you understand the more men see that, the more perverted they get? It doesn't make them like big macho men, all right? Or something like that. Little boys that took baths with their mothers turn into sodomites, all right? They don't turn into, you know, he-men or something like that. It actually turns men where it's, it actually defiles them inside. It actually destroys their sex drive. In 1968, during the Russian invasion of Prague, Czechoslovakia, Prague was having what they called the Prague Spring, where they were trying liberty against the communists and that, teaching things. And the Russians sent tanks in there. And they had soldiers all over. Do you know what the Czechoslovakian women did? They put mini skirts on, low-cut things, and walked in front of the Russian soldiers to demoralize them and break them down. Okay? And that's what's going on in society today. And that's why men don't act like men anymore. Okay? They don't act like men. They just sit there and watch all these perverted things on TV, watch it all over the place, watch all this kind of junk and see that stuff. And it hasn't made them into some glorious he-men. It's turned them into godless little slimy wimps, all right? That's all it's turned them into. All right. Think about how you dress. You establish your standards. I've told people before, I'm not upset if you don't have my standards. I'm upset if you don't have standards. Yeah, you establish them, make sure they work, all right? And the biggest thing is that you have fellowship with God. Okay? Have fellowship with him. If something gets in the way of that fellowship, get it out of there, okay? My wife and I, if something gets in the way of our relationship, I don't want it in our house, okay? She doesn't want it in our house if it gets in the way of our relationship. We don't want that there. You guys can have it in your house. It gets in the way of our relationship to have it, okay? And the same thing with God. If something gets in the way of that relationship, get it away, get it out of your life, all right? And then like Pastor Haynes said, now don't go on a crusade and get it out of everybody's life, all right? All right. So again, verse 1, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty, the Lord is clothed with strength, there, wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also is established that it cannot be moved. By the way, the flat earth people, and I have to deal with them. I write on the history of the King James Bible. I'm a historian of the King James Bible. I have a blog that gets out there and such, and I get a lot of readers on it, and I get these flat earth people that come to me, and they usually say, it says the world isn't moved. All right? A, the world and the earth are not synonymous. Okay? The earth is terra firma. That you go out there and grab a handful of earth. You don't grab a handful of world, you grab a handful of earth. You want to grab a handful of world, watch some commercials on television sometime, you'll get a handful of world, okay? The thing is, this is talking about when Jesus Christ reigns, when he's clothed with majesty, he's reigning the earth, the world, that society and everything won't be moved then. It'll be established, it'll be like it's supposed to be forever. Now look at verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. By the way, you notice two different words were used, established and established, in two different verses. Okay, I had to contend with a guy who wrote a book on Bibles and such, and he was saying they're the same word. They're not the same word. Okay, to establish is to set it up for the first time. Establish is to build it up for. Okay, and again, the more you learn of these little nuances, okay, the more rich your Bible becomes to you.
Amen.
Okay? It just becomes rich to know that. Know the only people I ever heard complain about that are highly educated people. Well, it's just too hard for me to learn. Oh, really? Yeah. You get some janitor with a mush mouth, black or white, down south or whatever, and he gets it. All right? And, I've been in the Philippines where people speak four languages before they ever learn English. They get it. Do you realize almost every Baptist church in the Philippines uses a King James Bible? It's amazing when you go there. They use that King James Bible. They understand it. They know it. They memorize it. They learn it. All right? And it's worked good for that. All right. So the thing is, thou art old from everlasting. Turn with me to Psalm 90. This will be our last verse we're going to go to. This is the one psalm that Moses wrote, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And I've said this before, the Hebrew Bible has chapter and verse markings just like our Bible does, okay? These idea that chapter and verse markings were put in the 1500s or something. No, chapter and verse markings have been in the Hebrew Bible as long back as there's ever been a Hebrew Bible, okay? The only place they differ in the sense of the verse markings, as for them in the Psalms, these scripts here, this opening, a prayer of Moses, that would be verse 1 in the Hebrew Bible. Okay? That's where we differ. Then verse 2 for a Hebrew, verse 1 for us, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. This is Moses speaking. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now that's man's perspective of God. Why? Because man stands in a finite place to die. Man stands here. And he looks back as far as it can go. God described he's been there, he's always been, he's going forth, has been of old from everlasting. There came a time when God chose to create. There came a time when Jesus Christ bowed the knee to the Father and created. There came a time when he came forth and he created on this earth and he made man and he established it. And the best way to understand time, the best way to understand prophecy is to think of God in eternity past standing there and throwing a football. And it's going to go 100 yards. And through all history, that football is flying over people. And every person in it has exact perfect liberty and free will to do whatever they want to do. But way on the end, at that goal line, stands God himself, who catches that ball exactly where he said it was going to go. This is how he ends all things, and he gets it exactly there. And every single thing that happened in there, he knew would happen. He saw that it would happen. Some of them he ordained to have happen. And yet he never violated people's free will in the midst of all of that. He makes it happen. And Moses says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Folks, that's who we serve.
Amen.
That's that great God. Pastor Hayne.